everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, off and running on Thursday, the 11th day of January 2024. Tom Fairbanks engineering and producing our program. Tom, today is International Thank You Day. Wasn't really aware of it, but...
thank you. I don't know what I'm thanking you for, but well, since it's International Thank You Day...
Well, let me thank you for your service.
thank you for being a friend.
Yeah, thank you for your service to our program. And, wow, I'm always ready to thank all of our great sponsors and my many friends and listeners, especially who've been kind of helping me navigate my new life. We started year 14 for the radio program last week. It was kind of anniversary week for us. 36 years in Tucson Media, and we come to you now from the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. We're so delighted to have them have the naming rights to the studio on the Bustos Media campus, where we have five radio stations under one roof. This one is 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source now for local news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website and also the place for all of our podcasts. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management for our telephone interviews, but we are live in studio with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott. Happy New Year to you. We can still say that, I think.
We can, and I guess we should also say thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Supervisor Scott, for coming in. And a lot to talk about, actually, a lot to unpack under our two upcoming segments here. So we have the full board now. We have Supervisor Bronson has now retired. And how did Miss Lee, that was her first, Sylvia Lee, her first meeting was Tuesday, correct?
It was. And I want to start by thanking once again Supervisor Bronson for her 27 years of service to Pima County. She was the first woman to ever chair the Board of Supervisors in the long history of this county, and she really set a model for constituent service and constituent outreach. She also was twice the president of the State County Supervisors Association. So yes, Dr. Sylvia Lee was sworn in last Tuesday. It was a very nice ceremony before the board meeting. Her partner Roger and her daughter Brooke came in and administered the oath of office, and then we all had the opportunity to congratulate her before she took part in her first meeting.
You were very enthusiastic about having Dr. Lee take that position and fill that seat on the board.
I've known Dr. Lee for 20 years. I first met her.
Was this part of your educational ties, your background?
Yeah. Yes, sir. She was the president of the then fairly new Northwest campus of Pima Community College when I was an assistant principal at Ironwood Ridge High School. And she would, along with other PCC staff, come up to the high school and talk with our kids about dual enrollment opportunities at Pima. And we were getting so much interest and so many contacts from people within the Democratic Party, within the community, about all of the people who were planning to be candidates next year and who were also vying for the appointment. And that's no surprise. The seat had been held by Supervisor Bronson for 27 years. She defeated an incumbent to take the seat. So this was the first time in over 30 years that it had been open. And it just seemed to me that first, the voters within the Democratic Party, when they make their primary choices, and then in the general election, should be able to decide without it seeming that the board was making any kind of attempt to influence the process who their next supervisor will be. And now Supervisor Lee indicated that she was willing to just fill out the balance of Supervisor Bronson's term. But had she decided to be a candidate, excuse me, she would have been a very viable one. Mm-hmm. She had already been elected by the voters of District 3 to serve a six-year term on the Pima Community College Governing Board. She's been active in a lot of community nonprofit organizations, such as Literacy Connects.
Very well known in this town.
So,
very well known. Yeah.
A terrific reputation and excellent record and qualifications. So if she had decided to be a candidate, she would have been a very credible one. But as it is, she can do a terrific job of representing the people of District 3 and carrying out all the duties of being a supervisor. And then politics can take care of itself in both the primary and general elections. I pushed really hard for that outcome for the reasons that we discussed, and I'm delighted that that's what the whole board ultimately decided.
Yeah, let's face it, if that position, if that had gone to a candidate, would give the candidate an inside position.
It would have.
In the run. There's no two ways about it.
It would have, and there would have been people who would have said, well, that's who
favoritism
they want.
Yeah. What about leadership roles for 2024?
So we made, we made those decisions on Tuesday as well. And Supervisor Grijalva was selected to continue as our chair. I am going to continue as the vice chair. But I also have some other responsibilities that I'm really excited about. I have been serving since January 2021 as the county's representative to the Pima Association of Governments Regional Council and the Regional Transportation Authority Board, and I'll continue in that capacity. I'm also going to be taking Supervisor Bronson's spot on the Sun Corridor Incorporated Board.
That's a very important position.
Thank you. I thought it was as well, and was delighted that I was invested with that responsibility. And I'm going to be continuing in another role that I've had for the last 3 years, which is serving as our representative to the Legislative Policy Committee of the County Supervisors Association. That's a group of 15. There's a supervisor from each one of the 15 counties, and we meet every Friday while the legislature is in session to talk about bills that are going through the legislature that affect counties. And there are many of them because in Arizona, counties are subdivisions of the state. So there's a lot of legislation moving through the Arizona State Legislature that affect counties. And we decide whether we're going to oppose, support, or stay neutral on bills that impact counties. And then we have a staff that follows up with legislators in terms of educating them on our positions and encouraging them to support our positions. And all 15 of us often weigh in with our legislators as well. And what's really interesting, Bill, is that that group of 15 is pretty evenly divided between Republicans and Democrats. But when we vote to oppose, support, or stay neutral on a bill, our votes are almost always unanimous because the interests of counties are the interests of counties, regardless of the partisan label after each supervisor's name.
Let's save our conversation for what's going on with RTA next for segment two, but let's try to round out this segment with the situation with asylum seekers. Are we, in effect, running out of money there?
Well, we're in a very precarious position right now, Bill. We have relied since we started to have a large influx of asylum seekers beginning in 2019 on federal funds that are provided to border counties that are dealing with those issues to ensure that those legally processed asylum seekers, after they are released by the Border Patrol, and the Border Patrol can only keep them in custody for a certain amount of time as defined by current federal law. When they are released, they would just be out in the community were it not for the prudent and very systemic use that we've been making of those federal funds. They're only in our community for roughly 48 to 72 hours, but during that time, we are able to provide them shelter, food, medical care if they need it, and then transportation to either TIA or Sky Harbor, where they head out to various spots around the country. If those federal funds run out at the end of February, and there is strong potential for that happening if Congress and the White House don't take appropriate measures. I said on Tuesday that I will not vote to use local monies that federal funds have been providing for.
Yeah, you're not going to want to dip into the general fund is what you're saying.
I absolutely will not.
To take away from other issues.
No, I absolutely will not, Bill. And I believe that that is the position of all of my colleagues. None of us want to use local funds to pay for something that is fundamentally 100% a federal responsibility. And we need our representatives in the United States Senate and the United States House of Representatives and the White House to recognize the impact this will have on border counties and the public health and safety of not just those asylum seekers, but all of our residents if those funds are allowed to run out at the end of February. It would be an extraordinary act of irresponsibility on the part of the federal government.
What would we do? We'd have thousands of people just left on the streets or...
And bear in mind, Bill, that that situation has occurred in other border cities and other border counties around this country. We've not seen that in Pima County and Tucson because of the work that the county has led to ensure that legally processed asylum seekers, once they are released by the Border Patrol, have a place to go, have a place to stay, and have transport to the airports when it's time for them to leave.
Well, clock is running there for
yes,
sure.
Yes, it is. And I'd encourage your listeners to contact their representatives in Congress.
Let's take a break right here. We'll have more with Pima County Supervisor Democrat Rex Scott, who represents on the five-member board the first supervisorial district, which is pretty much an area of north of River and then up into the northwest part of Pima County. Let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona and the team, Mona, Steve, of course, is the owner. Mona is Steve's lovely daughter. They had a great holiday season. They want me to thank all of our listeners for helping make this really a special time. And now here we are in January, and they still have... They are the home of the Danish Kringle, and even though the holidays are over, a Kringle is appropriate for pretty much any occasion. Doesn't have to be a special occasion, just maybe even, how about a Saturday morning with your coffee, a Danish Kringle. Danish Kringle and the whole lineup of wonderful European-style breads and pastries open. They're open right now for lunch. You can, of course, do breakfast. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. More with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006. And the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. come in for your design session, or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Thursday afternoon, as the weather transitions into some blustery weather out there, I don't know how much rain we'll get, but we're going to have some very cold temperatures on the heels of this. Then I hope by Saturday morning I can forget about covering the plants for a while and bring out some of the hanging plants that have now been in the garage for too long, in my opinion, at least a week. We've had quite the cold snap here. Do a programming note, our Friday Focus interview tomorrow, the sheriff of Pima County, Chris Nanos, will join us. And wow, what a dangerous job. Rex Scott is with me, Supervisor Scott. What a dangerous job. The Fraternal Order of Police today released statistics, Supervisor, 340 officers. And that's all sworn law enforcement. Doesn't have to be a city cop. It can be a sheriff's deputy. 340 were injured. One-tenth of that, about 40 officers, died from their wounds. That is up 40% since 2018. What a dangerous job. How do you recruit people in that kind of a profession?
And first responders, including in law enforcement, really put their lives on the line every time they go to work. And last month, I went to the annual awards ceremony that the Sheriff's Department has. It was at a local church, and some of the deputies and corrections officers that were recognized, the stories that were told before they were recognized about what they had experienced and endured to earn the awards that were given to them that day, it would just knock your socks off.
Tough profession.
Absolutely.
We'll have plenty, obviously, to talk about with the sheriff, including his take on the so-called Blue Ribbon Committee about looking at what to do with the jail. Do we fix it up? Do we do a new one? You really haven't taken a position on that, have you?
I have not, Bill. We are going to get the recommendations of the Blue Ribbon Commission by the end of this month. So I imagine in February, the board will take those up. They are currently surveying the public on their draft report, and they're going to incorporate that public input into the recommendations that they make to the board.
All right, let's talk about RTA next. Our friend Tim Steller of the Star had a column that talking about the city going it alone, and we had General Maxwell, Ted Maxwell, who represents the Arizona Department of Transportation on the board that you sit on, where you represent the county, and that is the RTA board, Regional Transportation Authority. What is your take on where are we right now?
Well, I was really glad that when Tim Steller's column ran in the local paper, that my quote was right after General Maxwell's quote, because both he and I were talking about the importance of regionalism and connectivity. And the fact that no one of us is going to be able to do as much as all of us can do together. And I believe that that is a set of beliefs that is shared not just by General Maxwell and myself, but by our seven colleagues, the five mayors of our cities and towns, and the chairs of the Pascua Yaqui tribe and Tohono O'odham Nation. And we passed a motion back at our last meeting, which was on December 7th, that directed the Technical Management Committee. These are the jurisdictional professionals from all the jurisdictions that make up the RTA, to take a look at the two plans that the Citizens Advisory Commission referred to the board and find a way to meld them together and to, while they're doing that, to consult with all of the member jurisdictions to see if they can come up with a consensus plan that they can present to us at our January 25th meeting. Because as I've said many times on this show, we want to be able to say to everybody in Pima County, regardless of where they live, there are reasons within this package that you will want to support because it impacts where you live. But more significantly, if we don't act together, we are going to be missing out on opportunities that cannot be made up by each jurisdiction acting separately. And, you know, General Maxwell and I came on the RTA board at the same time, and he is the governor's Southern Arizona representative of the State Transportation Board. Governor Ducey appointed him. Governor Hobbs has continued him in that position. And one thing he always reminds us, and I think he said it on your show as well, there isn't going to be any federal and state money coming into this region for anything other than maintenance in the years to come. So
yeah, no new money other than maintenance. That exactly. was his message to my listeners, and he said it before. For those thinking, well, I don't need the plan because the state or the feds are going to rescue us with our road needs, that is not going to happen.
I have heard, and he, believe me, he says that to the rest of us on the RTA board, any opportunity that he has. And I have heard all eight of my colleagues, and I've said this as well, speak to their beliefs in regional collaboration. And we have found multiple opportunities in the last 3 years to come together and find consensus. Sometimes we would start a meeting not knowing how we would get to that point, but we got to that point. And all nine of us have that commitment because all nine of us know that the stakes are extraordinarily high. And if we do not put an RTA Next plan in front of the voters to cover the next 20-year period, then we are going to have infrastructure issues, the like of which this region has never encountered. There are things that we take for granted that are funded by the RTA that will be gone if we do not put a new plan, a viable and appealing plan in front of the voters. And our goal is to do that in the spring of 2025.
Could you articulate a couple of those items that we do take for granted with the RTA program?
Well, I'll tell you one that I don't know that a lot of people are aware of, but a significant amount of the SunTran budget relies on RTA funding. Mm-hmm. And so there is a big belief in this region in the importance of mass transit and expanding mass transit options. The current RTA is responsible for a big chunk of the current SunTran budget. That goes away without the RTA. Just about every major roadway expansion project in terms of roads that have regional significance that has occurred since 2006 has been funded by the RTA.
Your next meeting, it will be the end of January.
Yes, sir.
The clock is running on this deal.
This is crunch time.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. We want to be able to get something out for the public comment period and then come back and make any changes to the plan that that are necessitated because of the volume of public comment that we get. And then we need to start running a campaign because, again, our goal is in the spring of 2025 to have an election. And so this time next year, mm-hmm. we're going to be in campaign mode. And so we need to make prudent use of the rest of 2024 in terms of finalizing a plan, getting it out for the extensive public comment that we have pledged, and then starting a campaign. But I think that campaign, at least in terms of what the nine of us are saying to the people of Pima County, has been underway for a long time. Because again, all nine of us know that we cannot fail to produce a plan that is passed by the voters.
And it's a collegial mood, usually. It's not a combative mood when you all sit down at the table. Nobody's shouting and yelling at each other.
No, it's extraordinarily collegial and collaborative. And, mm-hmm. and these are people who are leaders in their communities. You know, these are mayors. These are the
tribal leaders.
And I'm representing the county. General Maxwell is bringing in his expertise and knowledge from the State Transportation Board, and also his role heading up the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. And certainly we hear from the private sector all the time how vital they know RTA Next is.
All right, Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, thank you. Today's International Thank You Day, so I'll say thank you, Supervisor Scott.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you, Tom, and thank you all of the listeners out there.
All right, we'll take a break right here. It's Buckmaster, midway through our Thursday edition. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
I've known the Chavez family for 35 years, and thanks to Chavez since 67, you won't find any soft, saggy cushions at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Chavez since 67 can restuff your cushions with new, firm, high-density foam. What a difference that makes. They also offer full upholstery services. Give them a call at 520-795-8032 or check out the website chavezsince67.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. Still drizzling, I guess. That's what they're saying out at the official weather station out at the airport as this front really blows through. So we will have some really cold temperatures on the back side of the front. This is the Buckmaster Show Thursday afternoon in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I know my friends over at Green Things share my thoughts that they'll be happy that we get a break here. We had a really cold 7 or 8 days, as I pointed out. Still got a lot of plants that I've, hanging plants I took down that are still in the garage, and hopefully can move them out Saturday morning as we have some pretty good weather, maybe up even into the 70s. Green Things and Zocalo Village, the naming sponsors of our studio here at Bustos Media. Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Their website, greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business is Zocalo Village. Their website is zocalovillage.com, and they're on site there on the 13-acre site. Everything you need for really beautiful things for the patio, beautiful Talavera pottery, and great stuff over at Green Things and Zocalo Village. When we do our telephone interviews, which we're going to do in a moment, that is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Once a month, we talk public health on our program. In fact, one of our contributors, 24 regular contributors, is very much associated with public health. Will Humble is the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association. Will didn't get off the bus yesterday when it comes to this area. 35 years in public health, including more than 2 decades where he served at the Arizona Department of Health Services. In fact, he was the director, the agency director there for about 6 years, and he joins us now. I think, Will, did you make it to Prescott?
Yeah, I did. Luckily, I made it. It was snowing so hard when I was driving up through here at 8 and 9 from Portis Junction all the way to Prescott.
Whoa.
And then when I, Prescott Valley wasn't snowing that much, but when I got, when you cross this, you go past this one area and it just, it always gets a lot more snow. And it's not that much higher, but it's, it gets a lot more snow in Prescott than Prescott Valley. Anyway, I was sliding around a little bit. I'm glad I made it to the door.
Yeah. Wow. That's a, that could be a real hazardous situation, driving in snow.
Yeah, and I just went slow. I'm not a good, I mean, I'm a Phoenix and Tucson guy, so I haven't had a lot of practice, but I did okay. At least I didn't wreck the car.
All right. We had the legislative session gaveled into session. We had a half-hour conversation with Senator Bennett, Ken Bennett, another of these people who didn't get off the bus yesterday, the former Secretary of State, a former Arizona Senate President, and he said there's quite a few health-related bills, and I know you're really tracking this. Let's get right into that. What are some of the marquee issues, Will Humble, that you're looking at and tracking?
Yes, there's about, 30 to 40 health-related bills that have been proposed already. I'll start with the most fun one, where
tamales.
There was a lot of drama last year. The tamales, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Know?
Tamales, back in the spotlight.
Yeah, so there's a new version, or a tweaked version, I guess you'd say, of the what we called the tamale bill last year, which would allow people, if it were to pass, it passed last year, but the governor vetoed it, and it would allow people to, well, there's already a cottage food program where you can make non-potentially hazardous foods and sell them out of your house, things like bread and things like that. The sponsor tried to do last year was to expand that to other kinds of foods and put some safeguards in place around, you know, packaging labeling, you know, you can't use excluding certain kinds of proteins like fish and stuff. Sadly, the governor vetoed it. That bill is back. It's tweaked a little bit. So we'll see, you know, what happens with that. I've been a proponent of it. I think it is a good thing for public health, and that it allows people to make some income on the side and has some safeguards so that there'll be more labeling of, and let's face it, there's tamales and stuff being sold in parking lots all around Tucson and Phoenix already, as mm-hmm. it is, that are mm-hmm. all made. Mm-hmm. This would sort of bring it into out of the shadows and out into the sun. So that's why I think that one's a good bill. There's a series of bills around firearms storage, bills, severe threat order of protection, basically red flag laws, other things that I just don't even think are going to get a hearing. Those kinds of bills, like red flag laws, that restrict firearms from certain people depending on, you know, behaviors that they've had and so forth. I don't think those aren't going to go anywhere. What else is there? There's going to be a series of bills to help improve, to give the state health department more enforcement authority for regulating assisted living and skilled nursing facilities. Up here in Phoenix, the Arizona Republic ran a series of articles about the unchecked substandard care in assisted living and skilled nursing facilities, assaults that, you know, haven't been addressed, facilities continuing to get away with bad behavior and poor patient care. So I think we already see a few bills on that to help improve or give the state health department more teeth. Now, that's not going to, if those bills were to pass, it's not going to solve the problem, because the state health department needs to recruit more talented surveyors or inspectors and get them on board and trained. So there's a combination of things that need to happen in order to improve that part, important, really important part of state government. So those are a handful of them, and you can add, I think I sent you the list. You can ask.
Yeah, there's a ton of them. And there was a headline story in the Star today, a bill that targets fake meat for
Yeah.
Can you fill us in? What are we talking about here with fake meat?
Well, I'm not going to use that word. So there's a new technology that the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has approved, which allows basically laboratory grown meat from cell cultures.
What?
In other words, you can grow meat like beef in a laboratory using cell cultures, and I've never tasted it, but people that have say that it's as good as the meat that you would get traditionally, you know, from a stockyard. So FDA has approved it. Now, there's two bills at the legislature that would then regulate that in Arizona more specifically. One bill just says, and I think this is a good one, just says, hey, if there's if your beef that you buy is from the laboratory and not from a ranch, then you need to disclose that on the label. And I think that's a good idea. People should know, you know, if it was laboratory grown meat. I think people have, that's a reasonable expectation that people should know that. So that's one bill. There's a second bill that just would say, nope, not in Arizona. No lab grown meat is allowed for sale. So it would essentially forbid the sale of laboratory grown meat. So those two bills, I think both of them are going to get hearings. We'll see which one of those two makes it over mm-hmm. the line. I suspect the one about full disclosure will make it over the line and probably get a signature. I doubt that the one that just says you can't have lab grown meat will make it.
Well, you know, the lobbyists for the cattle industry are going to be active in this one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they'll want both of these bills, probably.
To cover their bases, right?
And they have full access. access behind closed doors, I can tell you that. I've
All
been
right.
around long enough to know that.
Let's take a break. We've got more about the Bills. Also want to get an update on, boy, the headlines about, we're right in the middle of the flu season here. We'll get an update from Will Humble as we continue our conversation on a Thursday afternoon. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Getting some really weird weather here. That front moving through very quickly. So some areas getting a little bit of rain, some are not. One area that, of course, will get some weather because the storm moving west to east. But after it's through, it should be really nice this weekend over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, only about a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. SouthwestNewMexico.org is their website. Things to do, places to stay, and is it going to be green or red chili? That will be in... They got some great... There's some really good New Mexican cuisine in historic downtown Silver City. Might want to check that out. Back on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Will Humble, our public health contributor, former health director in the state of Arizona, has ventured up to very snowy Prescott. How much snow are they expecting up there, Will?
I'm just looking at it right now. I'd say at my place, which is kind of near the square, I'd say it's 4 inches.
Okay.
And this is all brand new, I can tell.
Yeah.
Now, since we got on the line 10 minutes ago, it's completely stopped and it's blue skies.
Wow.
So like you said, it's a quick moving thing.
Yeah, it really is. Must be very pretty, though, where you are right now. Okay, we've talked about this before, getting more doctors, and doctors to do their residency in Arizona is so important. I believe the governor and the state of the state talked a little bit about this.
Well, she mentioned the healthcare workforce. I didn't read the full transcript. I hope she mentioned residencies. I don't know if she did or not.
She talked about AZ Healthy Tomorrow Initiative.
Okay, those are the three universities' plans. Yeah. So just for the listeners real quick. So the way you build the doctor workforce is you've got to, so when you go to medical school, you know, you finish your undergraduate, then you go to medical school somewhere. And then when you finish medical school, you're required, in order to practice, you've got to do an internship and residency. And that residency program comes after you finish medical school. Well, there's a lot of people who think, well, if we need more doctors in our state, in our case, Arizona, then we need more medical schools. That's not the case. What you need is more residency programs so that you can attract doctors who went to school wherever. Could be New Mexico, Colorado, Wisconsin. Doesn't matter where they went to medical school. If they can find a residency in Arizona, then that's where they're likely to practice when they finish their residency training. So the universities, the three universities, put that initiative together. And their proposal is on all three, NAU, ASU, and U of A, is to either ASU and U of A want to, excuse me, ASU and NAU want to start medical schools, and U of A wants to expand what they have. They all talked about medical training and medical students. The only one of the three plans that I saw that really focused a lot on residency development was NAU's medical school proposal. U of A mentioned residencies, but it wasn't front and center in their plan. I don't think ASU even mentioned residency development. Now, that's not to say that those plans aren't part of what they want to do. I would feel a lot more comfortable if I saw in those initial plans that all three of the universities were really focused on working with community partners, like the smaller hospitals in the rural parts of the state and community health centers, to build those residencies, because that's the real pipeline to getting more physicians in practice in our state. And we've got a big shortage now, and it's getting it's going to get a lot worse soon, because there's a lot of doctors my age who are probably 10 years or less away from retirement, and that's going to put a huge hole in the network.
Yeah, it really is. A lot of doctors are retiring, doctors and not just physicians, but dentists as well. What are you hearing about the triple threat? That would be, of course, flu and COVID and RSV.
Well, I avoid using that word because I think it's over the top.
And okay.
My grievance is, I'm not angry at you, but I see some of these people who want to get clicks on Twitter and things like that, and they call it triple-demic, and then, it's a headline grabber. I mean, look, it's the normal respiratory virus season. We've got RSV, which always circulates this time of year, influenza, which always circulates this time of year, and COVID, which has been circulating this time of year since, 2020, 2021. All three are, I would say, peaking right now. I think COVID is probably past its peak a bit in terms of its transmission. Influenza and RSV are really at their peak transmission levels. And so what we're seeing in emergency departments and urgent cares in Arizona right now is that they're really kind of swamped with patients coming in with respiratory illnesses, a lot of influenza, some RSV, a fair amount of COVID. But it's way different from that winter of 2020, 2021, where people had really severe respiratory illnesses. So what's happening now is more like it was before the pandemic. A bit worse because COVID's a new illness, But it's not resulting in the really bad outcomes and the enormous numbers of deaths that we saw when that COVID-19 virus was, first circulating and before the vaccine.
COVID deaths have really dropped. I think the leading cause of death, heat deaths, heat-related deaths in 2023 were way up.
Yeah. So we did an analysis of the top 15 leading causes of death in Arizona, and we discovered that COVID-19 in 2022 was the fourth leading cause of death, and that has dropped in 2023. That dropped way down to number 13 or 14. So far fewer deaths from COVID-19 in 2023 compared to 2022. On the other hand, as you mentioned, the heat-related deaths went way up from what they were in 2023. So it is now, heat is the 10th leading cause of death in Arizona.
Wow.
Above COVID-19.
Go ahead, Will.
It's not just the extreme temperatures. It's a combination of our extreme summer temperatures and this housing crisis and how rents have gone so much up, causing this increase in homelessness, because by far the biggest risk factor from dying from heat-related illness is being, not having shelter.
If you're in the unsheltered population, whether it's the summer or right now,
that nationally more people die from cold than heat.
Wow. Any heat-related deaths among immigrants, do they track that as well, Will Humble?
We used to, when I was in charge of the health department, we used to write a report every year where we looked at the death certificates and then separated them by nationality. And what we found back in those days was large numbers of deaths on the Tohono O'odham Reservation area, where a lot of the migrants were, the economic migrants were crossing in those days. There were fewer asylum seekers in those days. It was more economic, persons crossing the border in those days. But to my knowledge, the State Health Department we did our own report. This is not a report from the State Health Department, and we don't have access to the data, so we couldn't report that stuff.
In the remaining minute, some key things, interventions. You talked about this in your blog on Arizona Public Health Association, azpha.org. There's some key things, real quickly, that can save kids' lives.
Well, we talked about this is related to the Child Fatality Review Report. I think, by and large, the number one thing that people can do is to make sure that their infants are in a safe sleep environment. One of the things we continue to see year in and year out are kids who tragically die because parents brought their kids into bed with them. And that is a very unsafe sleep environment, because it's easy for an adult to roll over on their kid, and a little infant doesn't have the ability to move their nose and mouth to get when their airway is restricted. Making sure that your kid is in their own crib by themselves without stuffed animals and big sheets, and put them to bed on their back, not their stomach. That's probably the number one thing that people can remember is to resist the temptation to bring the baby into bed. And when you're breastfeeding, it seems like it's more comfortable to let me just bring the baby in and we'll do breastfeeding and we can fall asleep together. Well, that's a dangerous thing, because they can just lose their airway.
Very, very good advice, Will Humble. Okay, Will, enjoy your time up in Prescott, and we'll talk to you next month. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Bye. All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow we've got the Sheriff, our Friday Focus interview. On behalf of Will Humble and Tom, engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.